Sorry, wasn't ready for this at all, as you can tell by the fact that my mic was live during that entire song playing. So sorry that you heard me yelling at the cat, but it's a good thing that I didn't say anything else super embarrassing, because you know if I had said to my wife, "Oh man, I hope these assholes appreciate this radio show, because I sure as hell don't want to do it for those assholes." If I had said that, everybody'd be kind of pissed off. Anyway, hope the levels aren't all fucked up, because I got confirmation that the music was okay when it was down real low because of the mic being on. So anyway, sorry. And sorry, cat, now that everybody knows. I'm like Alec Baldwin. Instead of yelling at my daughter, I yelled at the cat. I don't have a daughter. I especially don't have Alec Baldwin's daughter. So, yeah, didn't know there was a show, until like 5 minutes at a time, which seems to be the new tradition for Thursday shows. And this is also the first show I've done by myself in a long time, so we'll see how that goes. I'm out of town, so everybody else is still back at the office, probably listening to the show and making fun of me, going to send in mean questions. Or maybe they just completely forget about me when I'm gone. That's probably what happens. So we'll see how this goes. I have this tendency to kind of trail off, and then somebody else has to pick up for me when I'm on the radio with somebody else. So if I trail off now, somebody will just have to send me a PM telling me that I trailed off and that I need to get back on the radio. Yeah. Sorry, I trailed off. Anyway, I'm hoping that I also haven't broadcast using this computer since I was in London. So hoping that everything is working okay. And that it continues to work okay throughout the show. So I think I start with the questions from the first, because that's the day after the last show that Scully did. And whenever I get back into town, I will try and upload the last Monday show. I know there are some people pissing and moaning on the forums about shows not being uploaded. yeah, but I can only do that when I'm actually there, and I haven't been for a while. So let's see. Istanbul wrote, "Why can't snow cones and candy hearts be zapped and turned into another item from the same group? Seems like it'd be easy to implement and relatively harmless." Well, that's not a bad idea, but I feel like changing it now would probably have repercussions that I am not entirely aware of. I don't know that it's ever going to be worth a zap to try and get a different kind of snow cone, but since I don't know that, I don't know what that's going to do to runs. Maybe I'll put that on the list of potential things to change at NS13. I'm being told that I'm echoey, and I get told that a lot, and I don't ever know why it is. So, yeah. It's exactly the same setup as we had in London, only without a bunch of splitters. Maybe the problem is I don't have enough splitters. Oh well. I guess we'll just have to deal with it being echoey. Primavera Angel Hair says, "Say, why are there no snakes on the nearby planes?" Well, that's because the nearby planes predated that movie. Hagula says, "Cast one fortitude. Hey, you're not KOL Mafia's command line input thing. Please ignore that last message." What I can't ignore is the fact that Hagula is using KOL Mafia, apparently to cast buffs. I can see why. It would have been a lot of work to cast one cast of that buff on yourself using the archaic and convoluted actual interface for the game. Number Q says, "What percentage of publicly available game content has not yet been discovered by any players not involved with development or testing?" Close to zero, I would say. There's those 7 trophies, but there are always those 7 trophies. Let's see. The Pretender says, how about a Grimoire familiar equipment that does nothing but can be equipped on any familiar? Okay. Hogula says, awesome item of the month. The Half-Orchid's image is awesome, and I burst out laughing when I got the Big Punya's name. Plus, its mechanics look pretty damn interesting for speedruns. I think the consensus is that it's not going to displace the pumpkin bucket, but I guess you might use it if you didn't already have a pumpkin bucket, which, you know, we're going kind of Badger style on next month's item of the month, so we figured we could deal with one being a little bit less popular this time. Because there'll be plenty of awesomeness to be had with next month's familiar. Continuing the almost the same thing that we did last year on this month tradition. Because the Badger was June, wasn't it? Maybe the Badger was July. Wow. I might have fucked that up. Sinead O'Collander says, how about on special occasions, like maybe Halloween, have the Librium Candy Heart Summoning make black hearts that encompass all the heart abilities, like the black snow cones? Well, that was kind of one of the decisions that we made with the candy hearts, is that they would not have a black snow cone equivalent. There were a number of ways in which we sort of felt like they had to be underpowered compared to snow cones, and that was one of them, and I think that it's probably best to just leave not quite as good as snow cones alone. Hungry Lone Shark says, hey, Jack, how about an item or effect, cock blocked, that makes Hole in the Sky monsters female every time? Nah, we'd get in trouble for corrupting our youth. Yeah, people are asking if I've left my speakers on, and I have not. I don't know what the deal is. It could be some effect of the broadcast software, because I've got myself coming through my headphone speakers, even though they're turned all the way down at a really long, really obnoxious delay. So who knows? The software didn't pick up the stream very quickly. So sorry. Let's see. Now I lost my questions. Balance Tour says, hey, on a few recent shows, there was some abuse leveled at Zlyania. Just wanted to say she's always been very helpful with a couple donation issues that I've had. I was not aware of any abuse having been leveled at her. Maybe it was when she was on the radio with Mr. Skullhead. Anyway, if you guys are leveling abuse at Zly, then you should go fuck yourselves. So should my cat, who has just knocked my phone off of the counter. Yeah. That's the third one of those phones I've had, too. Oh, well, I'm sure it still works. Macaronis says, I was thinking, given the interrelationship of sauce and pasta, wouldn't it be reasonable to allow Flavor of Magic to make sauce spells a particular element? Alternatively, allowing intrinsic spiciness and immaculate seasoning to give half their bonus to pasta spells. We are making some changes to the way that stuff works within S13, so hold off on suggestions until you see what we've done there. That's sort of part of some of the changes that we're making within S13 that I've begun to see as kind of experimental rather than like, oh, we've arrived at some grand balance decision. It's going to be interesting. The few months after NS13, the data that we're going to be getting from the way that people are playing the game is going to be really useful to us in terms of balancing classes against one another and, you know, making sure that every class has a sort of viable playstyle. Hint, hint, hint. Which has always been something that we wanted, but not ever really been something that we could get really good data on. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens to because we basically have decided that with the skill stuff, we're just going to do everything that we think is a good idea. You know, obviously test it some to make sure that we're not just completely fucking anything up. But then, you know, just continue as we sort of always have to reserve the right to change stuff in the future. Having having the Ascension game just totally change is going to give us a lot more freedom to mess with stuff. Because the thing is, during the first, like, 3 months that Ascension was live, we could have made changes, and I'm sure we did make changes that actually made runs take longer, but it didn't matter because people hadn't just completely optimized the shit out of everything that it was possible to optimize the shit out of, or otherwise optimize. And it'll be nice to have that again. It'll be nice to see, you know, 1,500 turn runs on the leaderboard and have that number slowly come way down, as opposed to, you know, oh man, we've just added 3 turns onto runs by making some balance change or, you know, by adding some content and screwing up the percentages of certain adventures occurring in ways that we hadn't even thought were at all important. And now the runs that are on the leaderboard now are just going to be locked on there for 60 days until they rotate off. So it's going to be a lot more fun to work on the game again after NS13, because we're not going to be so scared to change stuff. And that was actually the point of NS13. You know, it was to kind of nerf everything into the ground so that we could start just adding content that we wanted to add for the sake of adding content, and adding interesting new mechanisms for the sake of adding interesting new mechanisms, and not worry about suddenly just making it possible to chain multiple one-day ascensions together using KOL Mafia and farming plexiglass items to use in your display case to blackmail people. I'm trying to think how you would, like, get anything by doing multiple one-day runs in one day. Yeah. Really, you'd be spending a lot of resources. So, you know, maybe this is all wrong. Maybe we shouldn't be preventing people from doing multiple one-day runs in a day. But I think we should. Foggy says, cool item of the month, guys. Any chance we might be able to make bouquets out of the flowers, a la the pretty bouquets? I don't know. You know, we have often tossed around ideas about stuff that you could plant in your campsite, right? Like, just instead of having the 9 flower spots, have there be, like, 9 spots where you can plant something and, you know, have there be different things that you can collect to plant, you know, that give different effects during rollover, or let you do things during, you know, you could plant a strawberry vine or something and get a strawberry every day out of that spot in your campsite. And, you know, it'd be a neat way to get another little sort of usable mechanism in there, a bunch more drops in a bunch of different places. And, I don't know. It'd be a little weird to do that and then suddenly retrofit all the bouquet content into it. Cause, like, let's say we made those flowers really valuable for putting in the campground, and then suddenly there's no way to get them anymore, right? As opposed to having rolled it out as a Mr. Store item, which, hey, not only is this piece of familiar equipment, but it also gives you some really cool flowers for your campsite. But yeah, I don't know. That's definitely something that I'd be willing to explore later as a content update. Let's see. Macarona says, hey, Jick, with Accordion Thieves able to do what they can do at level 9, what's the likelihood of allowing other classes to reach the level 15 skill item of their off-stat? I see. Like allowing a seal clubber at... No. I don't like that. Part of the reason that Accordion Thieves get that little bonus is that they don't get a lot of... They basically have no Accordion Thief-specific crafting ability. And so being able to get stuff from the stores is kind of making up for that disadvantage. It's possible that we might allow them access to what you're suggesting. But probably not. I feel like that would really mess up their sort of balance in terms of run speed against other classes if they were the only ones who had access to everything all at once. It's already, I'm constantly getting crap in dev that Accordion Thieves are the only people who can make the high-end sauce potions in a hardcore run. But, you know, I don't necessarily see that as a big design flaw, because I feel like the highest-end crafting stuff should require cooperation between classes, and as such, you know, it's kind of an annoying side effect of that the high-end crafting stuff just is not a factor in hardcore or in Ronin. But, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that's not a factor in Hardcore and Ronin, so I really don't think that's the end of the world. I think that that's just an aspect of the game. It's not necessarily a flaw with the game. There's nobody to fill in for me while I'm drinking my beer. Nico Chan 314 says, can apes in the camp drop purple, red, blue, green, and yellow mushrooms? I less than three mushrooms. I see pretty colors like purple and circles. Circles are not a color, nor is purple. Nah, the mushrooms. Mushrooms are pretty much fully represented to the extent that they're going to be, I think. They'll drop something similar post NS13 that makes you happy in a more synthetic, but from what I hear, very similar and equally enjoyable way. Oatgan says, why does everyone in Toothpaste for Dinner look depressed? Well, maybe because everyone in Toothpaste for Dinner is depressed. Duff Killigan says, what's the chance of seeing any plus spell damage pants in the near future? I don't know. One of the things that we're doing, not necessarily for NS13, but as part of the sort of next grand set of content plans post NS13 is putting together some. You guys would probably assume that we already have some of this, or maybe you know us well enough to know that we probably don't have this. But doing some analysis of all of the equipment in the game and figuring out, like, it would be nice for us to know rather than, like, looking at the wiki, okay, what's the best item farming outfit in the game? You know? And for us to have that data so that we could say, well, okay, you know, here is an opportunity to do something as a Mr. Store item, let's say. Let's say that we wanted to do another Mr. Store item that was a pair of pants that had a bunch of enchantments on them that no other pants in the game had. Well, having that sort of set of data about what... we have the data, obviously. We have the data on what enchantments are on what pieces of equipment, right? But if we had a list that pointed out, let's say this, there are no plus spell damage pants, we could look at putting some plus spell damage pants in Mr. Store and saying, okay, well, these pants have plus X spell damage. And then we also have an effective cap for the spell damage that we can put on pants for the rest of the time that we're adding pants to the game, right? Having some tolerances in there for... All right, so let's say that we want plexiglass to always be the best plus percentage stats gear in the game, which I think is reasonable to say that plexiglass should be the best plus percentage stat gear in the game. You know, then we know... If we want to put in some big high-end equipment reward in some other thing, we can either do different stats on the equipment slots that plexiglass gives you or less percentage stat boost on those items than what plexi gives you. But knowing that we've got that limit in place, you know, it allows us to say, okay, well, how hard is this compared to how hard, you know, a hardcore oxy run is? Future items of the month, and how it would be really handy if we didn't constantly have this sort of, let's say we work well under pressure, because we do work well under pressure, but it would be kind of nice if every 30th or 31st of the month we weren't scrambling to come up with something, but if we had, you know, a few ideas in store for the future, which, you know, we do. It's nice to have an entire month knowing what we're doing with the next month's item of the month, and, you know, it's handy to have that amount of time. Not in this case so much because that content is also just a shitload of work. Like the Badger was a shitload of work, but you know, having a front load of some of those would be kind of nice. And yeah, we were talking about another set of equipment, a la the jewel-eyed wizard hat and the pilgrim shield and the Travolton trousers. Just another kind of muscle, moxie, and mist-themed set of equipment. Well, you know, one piece of equipment being muscle-themed, one being mox-themed, and one being mist-themed. And, you know, we're going to have to wait until NS13 for that because we won't really know how those classes are supposed to play anymore. You know, but it'll be interesting. So, yeah, I guess that's the answer to what's the chance of seeing any plus spell damage pants in the near future. Enemy Lasagna says, is it still the case that food is more useful than booze in this game? If so, will that change with NS13? How does the production of on NS13 be going? At the current rate of working slash slackery, when should we expect this thing with poisoned effects do what poisoning keeps screaming? Oh, no, wait. When should we expect this thing? And then that was the end of the question. When I head back to the home office in Mesa, Arizona, it is my plan to just kind of dive headfirst into work for 2 solid weeks. And it is my sincere hope at the end of that 2 solid weeks to have the 30-day countdown on the front page. Because the 30-day countdown basically is means to me that the content is done, or at least the, you know, maybe all the pictures aren't drawn. Maybe there are minor things that haven't been decided on. But we suffered some from Ascension by having, well, I could say we suffered by having too strict of a deadline, right? But we didn't really, because it never would have happened if we hadn't had some kind of strict deadline. But what I don't want is I don't want to end up in a situation like we had with Ascension where, all right, we got the 5-day countdown, so we better only have 5 days worth of work to do, because anything beyond that 5 days worth of work is just not going to get done. So there's a lot of stuff that got omitted from Ascension. I mean, not a lot of stuff, but there were a lot of things that we had that we thought were relatively minor things that piled up to being way more than 5 days worth of work, right? So the level 12 quest is essentially done. There's like a few more days worth of work on that. There's a few more days worth of work on getting the level 11 stuff in. Then there's a few more days worth of work on some other like big stuff. And then the rest of it is just polish. And that polish can happen while there are some just serious and repeated run tests being done. And I would like to leave a month for that. You know, maybe a month is too much. And you know what? If we end up with too much time, if we end up perfectly happy with the state of things a week before the planned rollout date, then we can just go in and add some more content. We've got all if we give ourselves some slack, then we've got some slack at the end, and there's plenty of time to add some of the wouldn't it be nice if we could get this done for NS13? You know, wouldn't it be cool if we had some more of these things? Wouldn't it be cool if we added another couple of tiers of stuff to this thing? And, you know, the kind of stuff that would eventually happen in Tuesday updates anyway. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. You know, last week I spent a tremendous amount of time in the office and just burned through the most of the remaining work on the level 12 quest and actually got it into testing. And that is just, that last week was kind of the culmination of the last couple, 3 months. Basically everything since we left Fuzzle Faggot Ridge, everything that we had worked on was stuff going into the level 12 quest. And that we finally actually got to kind of see the big picture on that, which is nice, you know, and it's going to require a lot of tweaking. It's going to require a lot of work. It's going to require, you know, some changes because it's big and elaborate, and things that are big and elaborate are frequently confusing. And, but you know, it is being tested. We're getting a lot of good feedback from dev now. And, you know, so once we've got that beaten into approximately the shape that we want it, then all we're doing is just testing runs, testing Ascension runs, seeing, all right, what is this actually going to be like? Did we create boring parts? Are there still parts that wouldn't be boring if you couldn't skip them, you know, that we can prevent people from skipping? You know, are there still tweaks that we can put in that adjust the pacing to a more satisfying place? So, yeah, you know, pretty soon. And I don't know. I don't know if it is still the case that food is more useful than booze in the game. You know, I'm hoping that is the kind of thing that the testing will tell us. You know, I've always hated the teat drop thing. And so probably the way that our thinking now is probably the way that liver and stomach and spleen of steel are going to work is going to change, and it's going to change in a way that pisses off speed players but really has kind of a negligible impact on casual players. Because that's, you know, that's the way we like to change stuff. And I don't know. You know, it'll be interesting to see. if it turns out that food is still just way more useful than booze, then maybe we'll have to do some more stuff. You know, the supercock drinks were kind of the answer to food being way better than booze, just because the food system was way more finished than the booze system was, right? There was already the sort of huge high-end food, and we never really did that with booze. That I don't think worked. I think the resource limitations on that are making them not particularly viable, especially on sort of current order speed runs. But, you know, there might be something that happens to you over the course of a regular run that will make regular fruit a lot more available to you. So it could be that drinking booze becomes a lot more viable. You know, there could end up being some changes that make basic booze items a lot easier to get in small quantities, at least on a daily basis, which I don't know that for a fact. I'm not actually alluding to anything there. I'm just saying, you know, maybe that's something we could do. You know, maybe it's time to, say, change the typical tavern around a little bit so that it's someplace that people would actually go, as opposed to something that, you know, is just so awful that no one would ever adventure there if they knew that there was any alternative to doing so. Yeah. Rickett says, have you considered making Disco Power Nap remove some of the newer negative status effects, such as apathy, grilled, cunctitis, etc.? It would be nice if the two naps weren't so similar. Yeah, what I keep meaning to do is making the tongue skills cure all the wounds and the disco nap skills cure all the diseases. And I'm not entirely sure how I would then differentiate the two skills from one another. Because right now, you know, people say, Disco Bandits don't need more than one nap skill. And that's probably true. It was true in the past that Disco Bandits probably didn't need more than one D-leveler, but now, especially if people, I feel like if people had a better understanding of the way that the Disco Bandit combos worked, they would be a lot more excited about the Disco Bandit combos, but that could just be in my head. I don't know. Boo Boo says, I have an idea. Let's say somebody stole your account and you could not recover it. Could you make some type of recovery questions that no one would know but the owner of the account? Well, the kind of recovery question that nobody knows but the owner of the account is called a password, and we already have those. So basically, putting in tools to allow, nay, encourage people to forget their passwords is not something that we want to do. So, you know, I feel like security questions on accounts are worse than useless in my mind, because if I were to genuinely use, you know, say my mother's maiden name as my security question on my bank account, what that means is that now, instead of needing my password to get into my account, all somebody really needs is, you know, access to my email and to know my mother's maiden name, which... all of the security questions, you know, there aren't really any common things, I don't feel like, that people don't have big secrets, right? Like, there isn't one thing that you can ask somebody and the answer to that question will be an answer that only they know. You know, I don't think. Maybe I just tell everybody everything and so I have a fucked up idea of what kind of secrets people have. Which I totally acknowledge that could be the truth. But, yeah, no security questions. You can, there is, at this point, I don't think anything wrong with the level of security we have and with the level of recoverability that we have. The fact that you can change your email address now got rid of the only problems that there actually were with that system. And you know, I don't even think it was a big problem with our system, because it's a problem that there is with a lot of systems, right? I mean, I don't think the ability to change your email address is a super common feature on a lot of stuff like that, which maybe it is. Maybe I'm wrong. Dan Bob says, are characters with over a certain number of fake hands causing a strain on the system when people load up their character page or when they load up their equipment page? No, not at all. No matter how many fake, like having 100 fake hands on is exactly the same as far as the database is concerned than having one fake hand on. It might cause a little bit more load on the web server just because it's having to spit out, you know, links to the images and the text for all of those fake hands, but it's just seriously not a big deal. Also, the The integration guys have finally figured out what was causing the servers to die. We finally got enough data on when they were actually dying that he was able to look through stuff and figure out what it was that was causing it to happen. And it's just this total bullshit that should never have been like that. But theoretically, now that he knows what it is, he can look at ways to fix it. I don't think that it is actually fixed yet, but I think that at least now we do know what the problem is, so the server should stop just choking on their own dicks and causing all kinds of fucked up problems. Because it was causing all kinds of fucked up problems, the way that it was working. It was basically just, if you happen to be in the middle of ascending when one of the servers went down, it would just put you into this entirely fucked up state. And I think that there might still be a couple of people in that state that we need to fix. But the ones that I know about, every time I try to verify it, I look for messages from them and just see absolutely nothing. So, yeah. I probably, to a certain extent, I'm remiss in fixing some problems that some people are having right now, but they're not trying very hard. So, anyway, that should stop happening, right? Glebe says, regarding your solution for the pirates, if you're going to make drunkenness mandatory, can't you just combine the dictionary and drunkenness adventures to save time? Well, I could, but then I couldn't make it take as long now, could I? That's not bad. That's not a bad idea. There'd have to be a different version of the pirates for people who are on paths where they can't drink. But I mean, that would have to happen anyway. War Junkie says, hey, Jick and Co. I'm in a female-oriented hole in the sky and was wondering if astronomer chances are the same, as I'm getting an astronomer about every third encounter. As far as I know, the astronomer encounters are identical. The odds for them, there are no conditionals on the astronomer encounters. There are conditionals on all the male ones, conditionals on all the female ones, and then the astronomers are the same astronomers regardless of which version of the hole in the sky you have. And as far as I know, having exactly the same number of female monsters as there are male monsters means that there is exactly the same chance of you hitting an astronomer. So, yeah, that should be fine. It's probably just, what's it? RNG vagaries. Istanbul says, any chance we'll get a craftable weapon that will give the +5 adventures a rollover bonus without the obnoxious chat effect? Seriously, it's like a joke told a million times. Old. No way. It's funny. It's still funny. In a way, it encourages people to, you know, remember to remove their rollover outfit. So, whatever. Rickett says, someone needs to fix Tutorial's tattoo. It's currently set to class 7.guy. Hey, we also figured out what was causing that. It was weird. Last week was like the week of SQL injection vulnerabilities that had been in the game since like week 5 and never gotten fucked with or reported. Yeah, it was possible for anyone with bad data entry at any point between last week and the creation of the game to change everyone's tattoo. And that's totally lame. I don't understand how that vulnerability sat there for so long, especially as much as people were fucking with stuff in the early days of the game, and fucking with stuff like that, because, you know, that'd be funny to change everybody's tattoo to something. I don't know. I'm trying to think if the way that data is stored, if it would have been possible to set their tattoo to, like, goats, eh? So it would have been funny. Probably not. There probably was not enough space in that field to actually, like, link to anywhere else. You probably couldn't have done it anyway. But yeah, right. All of the NPCs that have classes outside of the 1-6 range, which is how a lot of that stuff works, will have gotten the wrong class tattoo when Xenophobe fixed that. Hogula says, were voodoo dolls ever supposed to do anything? They were supposed to do something, yeah. That may well come into play with NS13. There's an opportunity to use those in pretty much the way that we wanted to use them without it being too tricky. They were going to use a mechanism that has been coded for NS13 anyway. Then he says, how would you feel about making Helmet Turtles and all improved Helmet Turtle variants have a stat requirement to equip of muscle rather than moxie? Speaking of which, have you considered taking another look at the formula to determine minimum equip requirements? Even in the game today, plexiglass equipment with a stat to equip requirement that's not your main is pretty much impossible to do during a run. Seal clubbers will have killed the naughty sorcerers before they get 75 missed, etc. I imagine the situation will only get more extreme as higher power equipment is introduced, which I assume will happen given that one will be fighting stronger monsters. You know, we might look at that, but at the same time, I never primarily saw the Ascension Reward equipment as items that you were supposed to be using during your next Ascension run, right? I saw them as a reward that you were kind of collecting for having done the Ascension runs. I always imagined it didn't really. It should have, but it didn't occur to me that people would play the game the way that they do now, right? I always imagined that people would speed ascend and, you know, for a while, and then they would get tired of that, and then they would start power leveling again so that they could, you know, play with all of the equipment that they hadn't gotten to play with for the last while. We're doing some stuff with NS13 to actively encourage that, which will be nice. And then the stuff that I keep kind of alluding to that is the first kind of big content idea that we have for after NS13. Some, you know, totally optional stuff, but it's gonna be hard to do without not being a speed ascender, at least for the moment, right? It's gonna be stuff that, you know, benefits power level or stuff that stuff to do at higher levels is basically what it amounts to, because we don't really have any of that right now, right? There's farming. There's being a fucking buff bot that makes it cheaper to buy an infinite number of turns of buffs from somebody else than it is to cast on yourself, which is frustrating. Not that I'm bitter. LOTE says, hey, when you find the key in Cobb's Knob, it has two options. Go back to Cobb's Knob or go back to Cobb's Knob. Is that really necessary? Well, no. There is, because of some changes to the way that the adventure code worked, which eventually, I'm pretty sure that right now in testing is the teleportitis can send you anywhere that you can adventure rather than just sending you to those initial zones, right? So that will roll out once it's thoroughly tested, and I'm sure that it's a good idea. And there were people who were just sort of against that change from a content standpoint. But I don't know why. And I really can't imagine why right now. So let's see what people think. But anyway, there was a change to the way sort of non-stat-based zone entrance requirements were handled. And because of that, there are like multiple ways for you to fail to get an adventure. And it used to be that whenever you failed to get an adventure, it would give you a link back to the container document. You know, like you need cold protection to adventure on the Icy Peak. And now, because there are two points of failure for that, there are two points at which it needs to send you the back link. The Knob Lab key, for instance, that is hard-coded into the adventure script, and it really doesn't need to be. The fact that our super likely code exists now, and the fact that the adventure script is so much more robust in terms of being able to do interesting things with content than it used to be, means that we no longer need to have that key hard-coded in there. There's a ton of stuff like that. There's a ton of stuff that we just don't, that could be moved out of the fight script and could be moved out of, well, maybe not the fight script, but the adventure script at least. There's a lot of stuff. There are a lot of ways in which that could be cleaned up, and that is probably when that will get fixed. Any place that you're getting two of those messages, that means that we're handling a failure to adventure in that location in a way that is not nearly as elegant as it could be. And so that's not why you're seeing two copies of it, but that's a symptom of the fact that it's like that. SevenLances_com says, NO and Test are off the leaderboards? WTF. I want Hardcore Oxygenation and Hardcore Nation off now. They're team efforts and it's not fair. Political correct bullshit, if you ask me. Well, NO and Test Dudenata got taken off the leaderboards because they you know, I posted in the forums their team efforts. The thing is, if they had been on Ascension leaderboards, I wouldn't have cared because Ascension leaderboards roll, right? And a stunt on an Ascension leaderboard doesn't mean that every individual player is just sort of permanently locked out of a spot on that leaderboard for the rest of the time that the leaderboard exists. The basement leaderboard is kind of permanent. I mean, you know, people will say that I was proved wrong by the fact that somebody beat NO like the next day, but whatever, you know, it's maybe we're just being selfish, but when we heard about that, there was just this sort of collective kind of hand-wringing and groan among the admins because that's kind of lame, you know? The thing is, the reason that I don't say these buff bots shouldn't exist is because I don't want to write a set of policies that will prevent those buff bots from existing. But what I can do is not sort of give them extra glory for doing stuff that I sort of personally find objectionable as behavior. And you know, there's like with the scripting, there's this kind of uneasy truce, you know, but it can only go so far. If somebody is farming with multis, you know, we'll give them a warning to stop. If somebody is farming with multis with scripts, we will just immediately disable them because fuck that guy. I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not going to rewrite the policies to say if you're doing anything automated, you know, we reserve the right to do whatever the fuck we want because we think you're an asshole. But, I mean, the policies do kind of say we reserve the right to do whatever the fuck we want if we think you're an asshole, and that's fine, you know, because I feel like in general we're pretty benevolent about the way that we run things, but there are some things that we just don't like, and at the end of the day, it's our game, you know? We don't want those buff bots on the leaderboard, so the buff bots aren't on the leaderboard anymore, and I'm sorry if that upsets you, I'm sorry if you disagree, but I sleep better knowing that they're not there, and since the more sleep I get, the more time I have during the day to effectively create content for all you kids, then that's good for all of us. Ziggy Zagnut says, "So, Jick, I've been playing that desktop tower defense game, and I suck at it. Which is more important, upgrades or more buildings? I can't get past level 30. Help, please." I got to the point where I was reliably able to beat it, even on hard mode, after a few tries. Because there was a really, really interesting maze that somebody made. Look at the player mazes, basically. Look at the high scores and look at what they've done, and that will tell you. The bulk of the towers that you have to build... This is a fun game, by the way, so if you haven't played it, you should play it. Desktop Tower Defense. The bulk of the towers that you're going to have on the board at the end of the game are going to be unupgraded pellet towers, because the bulk of what you're doing is just trying to make it take longer for all of the enemies to get across the screen. You force them through the most convoluted possible path so that your real guns, which when I play tend to be fully upgraded squirt towers. Hogulus says, "There's only been one new grimoire item in 2007, not counting how it summoned non-yellow snow cones on April Fool's Day. Just saying." Yeah, I mean, eventually novelty companies run out of ideas for stuff to put into their novelty catalogs, and so, you know, there hasn't been a new novelty item at Archie McPhee's in a long time. That's probably not true, but, you know, we can't just put, you know, naughty bondage duck into the grimoire and say that that's a new novelty item the way that McPhee's can. Pop-Tart says, "Talk about some RNG screwage. It took me 52 vacations to get a barbed wire fence. Adding insult to injury, this was in an oxy-core run. Would you consider making it so a barbed wire fence drops automatically after a certain number of vacations before the last vacation reward, perhaps?" You know, we'll be looking at that. There's going to be some attention to the shore with NS13. We'll see. Zorda G says, "Why is it that the delectable catalyst is consumed when you use it, when the definition of catalyst is that the catalyst is not consumed in the reaction?" Because I don't know much about chemistry. In the same way that I don't know much about a science book or about the French I took. It doesn't get consumed in the reaction, but it gets burned by the heat that causes the reaction. So it's just useless at that point, and you throw it away. MattG987 says, would you please make the Elemental files multi-usable? They should already be. Let me make sure, maybe during the break, I'll make sure that they're actually coded to be multi-usable, and then if so, marking the multi-usable will only take a second. Or we could just do the listening to me type section of the show right now. Looking at the source file, use items, and then looking at, yeah, PHIAL does not exist in there. Are those spleen items? No, they're not. Well, searching for form. How about that? No, this is not working at all. Yep, okay. I'm not going to be able to check this and still talk. So I should probably stop doing that. O'Grady says, make the house the campground. It could look like Spooky Raven. Appliances inside, campground stuff outside. Yeah, that'd be cool. The trouble with that is that, you know, not all of the dwellings are the same size. I was thinking that it would be interesting at some point to more fully develop the campground. Like, you know, you could only have so many campground items inside your house if you had a tent, for instance. Because, you know, people would be pissed off if on speedruns they suddenly had to get, you know, get a cottage if they wanted to use whatever, you know, important thing that it was that they're using in their campground now. But, you know, whatever. Madeline says, are you still going to do that Naughty Sorcerer's drop thingy? Just curious. Yeah, that's definitely something that I'm planning to do with NS13. And again, that's probably going to be one of the... That's probably going to be one of the little sort of polished things that go on during the testing phase. Pop-Tart says, since there's a food place and a mysticality sign and a drink place and the moxie sign, have you considered adding an oxygen bar to the muscle sign that has various spleen delicacies? No. I've never really thought of a good way to theme it. Although, since we've established that... lifting weights is lifting enchanted barbells is bad for your spleen. Maybe they could give you some sort of supplements or something, since the Knolls are bodybuilders. Minor Annoyance says, regarding Jick and Smash Brothers, each attack throws someone a specific distance. The percentage damage is how much the damage is increased. At 100%, it would just be double the distance. I just made that up, but it is reasonable, isn't it? I just put two and two together. I've hardly ever hit it and not recovered at 0%, but by 200%, anything better than the basic attack will do it. And whatever. Still not consistent. Enemy Lasagna says, will there be a special ascending gift for ascending after all the guild quests have been completed? We haven't decided yet because the guild quests aren't close enough to done, right? So if there was a reward for that, it would only get harder and harder to get as time goes by, and that's the kind of thing that we kind of want to avoid. So theoretically, when the guild quests are done, there will be an impact on a run following a run in which you did all the guild quests. That's an idea that we've tossed around, at least. And it's an idea that we all like. It's just that we all sort of believe that we can't do it right now. QOV says, it's sad that there isn't some other way to get gravy. I would do the Epic Hat Quest every time, especially as it can all be done with one adventure if you've had a rough time at the Knoll. But it's no fun getting gravy. Maybe we can learn to make it out of mushrooms? Why does having... No, okay. Sorry. Oh, weird. I don't know. There's some problem with the way that the quest log handles one of the guild quests that I'll have to look at some point. But the cave quest is going to change completely. Enter the Wampa says, hello, my name is Jake, and I don't have to upload the radio shows because that would take away the time I normally use to get blowjobs from hookers. I get hand jobs from hookers, not blowjobs, because their teeth are always all fucked up from smoking crack. At least the kind of hookers I get. You know, I don't want to spend a bunch of your donation money on hookers. I just want to spend a little bit of your donation money on hookers. And yeah, you know, a lot of the radio shows that aren't uploaded are radio shows that don't exist. The only one that's not there at this point, I think, is the one from Monday, which I was not in town for. And as soon as I get back, I promise I'll upload it. It was a Monday show with Scully, and I wasn't even on it, so I don't know why you're pestering me about it. Why do I care if you listen to that show? Hogula says, any plans to make monsters that hurt you when you hit them? Like they're buffed with Psalm of Pointiness or something? Interesting. Hogulus has been taking his Mr. Magnifico pills. Macarona says, although not appropriate, perhaps the extreme sports orc should drop a frat paddle as well, enabling you to complete the frat boy outfit at the same as the hippie disguise. That is, on the road to White Citadel. Yeah, we'll see. Istanbul suggests something that I'm not actually going to read because it'd be funny if we actually did it, and if I read it, then people will know ahead of time. I need to open a text editor. Yeah. Kingdom Lotto Man says, hey guys, did you know it's Star Wars Day tomorrow? May the 4th be with you, eh? May the 4th. Ah, that's clever. Hogula says, why nerf the Goodfella contract drop rates? It's not like having gigantic stacks of contracts breaks the game in any way, given how much they cost to use, a cost which is considerably worse than usual for a lot of hardcore players, seeing as using the Goodfellow by necessity means you're not using a part Leprechaun familiar. Really, the only strategic, i.e. not doing 640 damage to the Boner Dagon just because you can, uses that I can think of for the contracts that aren't made utterly obsolete by a few permed attack skills are dealing with monsters while under the influence of temporary amnesia and funk-slinging them against the naughty sorceress. On the other hand, the nerf contract drop rate apparently has the side effect of increasing the Goodfellas de-leveling rate to what it should have been, something which I wholeheartedly approve. Okay, so you know, you must have posted this, let's see, 503, no, is today the 4th? No, today's the 3rd. I changed my laptop from London time to U.S. time, and I fucked up and spent the entire day today thinking that it was the 4th when it's in fact the 3rd. All right, so that's your response, Hogulus, to what I posted in the forum today about the contract thing. And you know, I said exactly what I thought in that thread. So I'm not averse to improving it if the way that it was supposed to work was really that bad. But this is the way that it was supposed to work. You know. And every time I've said that, that's been the truth. So don't even start giving me a bunch of crap about lying about nerfs, because I never do that. I love you guys. I wouldn't lie to you guys. But yeah, so we'll see. We'll see if anybody else says anything during the show, and we'll see if people post anything interesting in that thread. Every other combat is just too much, because you shouldn't just end up with huge piles of them, because they're kind of useless. You would never. You have to be using the penguin to use the contracts, and the fact that even when you're getting rid of contracts, you're still getting a bunch more of them just means that they're just going to pile up and pile up and pile up. And you're right. I guess it's not having giant stacks of them doesn't break the game in any way, but there's no point to it, right? Because why would you want that many? You know, putting it in there just for collecting purposes or whatever. I mean, I like the way that it was designed to begin with, right? If you use one every round, you get one every round. And that seems like a lot. That is a lot of those things, right? If you've got plenty of meat, or if you're playing softcore and you're not trying to really optimize, so you don't mind, you know, pulling, you know, items that you sell or pulling meat to spend on them. I assume there's probably some people that do that. You know, then use one every turn. Do a ton of damage every single turn. That guy, it is possible to get him to drop one every single fight, which is better than dropping one every other fight, right? So, I mean, I don't really think that the way that it is right now is that much worse than it was. It's just that because there used to be these big stacks and there are no longer these big stacks, it's perceived as a big sort of, what's the opposite of an improvement? and an improvement. Hagula suggests, how would you guys feel about making each familiar have some different effect in PvP? It's interesting, although it'd be another thing to have to balance on familiars, which is gonna kinda suck. This is a tiny airline-sized bottle of gin, says Hogulus. The orcish frat boys must have gotten this from some other dimension. Okay, yeah, but where did the shaky clown and the booze giant get it? The evil olive, too. No. The orcish frat boy shopkeeper image hasn't been changed to the new orcish frat boy monster slash costume image. Oversight or feature? Oversight. Archley says, okay, I think my questions were skipped unintentionally, so I'm sending again. If intentional, would you please say, Archley, your questions are dumb, so we're not reading them. I wasn't actually saying that, Archley. I was just reading what you wrote out loud. One, the reward for the Sluglord's quest is a pair of pants that confers the same thing you need to have in order to get them. Let down. Two, can the trigger for the message from fairy-type familiars be when you actually find something instead of, I would assume, when the calculation is done? Some of the messages don't make much sense if no items drop. Three, the interface for putting stuff in your mall store seems a bit strange this morning. Position of the magnifying glass is messing everything up. It's possible that your browser window is just a little different size than it was before, because nothing has changed in there. Let's see. Here's the thing. The reward for the Sluglord quest is a pair of pants that confers the same thing you need to have in order to get them. Yeah, that's a little bit goofy. It is, however, more stench resistance. It's less goofy than it used to be, right? Because it used to be the case that in order to get that, you only had to have... I mean, there weren't levels of elemental resistance, right? So any stench resistance was the same as all stench resistance. So, you know, you get a bum cheek, and then if you... Or maybe you have to make it into an ass hat to do it. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Or, you know, with Elemental Sauce Sphere, you know, let's say you want some stench resistance for Guano Junction, some additional stench resistance for Guano Junction. You can get it with one turn of Elemental Sauce Sphere, and then you've got pants that give you stench resistance without you spending mana on it. And they give you additional stench resistance, you know, if you're a Saucer or a Turtle Tamp. Well, which you don't have Elemental Sauce Sphere at that point. So forget it. I don't know how this game works. Cardini says, there ought to be a misfire chat command that sends the text that follows it to a random channel. That would be popular. Zortag says, have you guys ever thought of doing a Mr. Store item that's a piece of campground equipment? Oh, have we? It's, yes, we have. And we keep putting it off, and we keep putting it off, and we keep putting it off. But eventually, post-NS 13, there will be one real specific one that we've been talking about. It's just that we need to know what the environment is going to be like post-NS 13 before we know how to make it, like, useful. Minor Annoyance says, I'm getting kind of bored doing familiar runs, and I want to do Oxycore so I don't spend so much time using turns. So could you do me a small favor? Look at the leaderboards for hardcore familiar records. Find all records that have less than 70%. Wait. Find all records that have less than 70% of the records are 100% records. That's 70% of the 100s. Make a list of those familiars. Now remove any that I already have a record for, then lift your weight in paper clips. Now look at my terrarium and remove from the aforementioned list any familiars that I do not have. Write down the final list on a wood board using the wood burning kit provided. Take a digital photograph, then destroy the original. Now send me the list, and to overcome the spider's curse, simply quote a Bible verse. This would help me out a lot. Okay. ECM sends a couple of links that I will look at. The Onion article about a pizza topped with smaller pizzas. That's kind of funny. Too bad about it being on the Onion. That makes me sad. That I used to like the Onion. I like to use the Onion. Hogulus says, using remote form submission to try to eat a meat stack or meat from yesterday or something like that should generate some amusing message about how it's not food. Alternatively, there could be a trophy for trying to eat some non-food item. The only ones I can think of at the moment are fire from Krimboween and swords for obvious circus-related reasons, but I'm sure you can do better. I don't want there to be a trophy for invalid form submission. So, you know, the whole hot stuffing thing was kind of funny. But, you know, you can get that from somebody else who got it. Let's see. I know this idea comes way too late to have any realistic chance of implementation, but assuming you could turn armor craftiness into a skin smithing skill, meaning it allows you to make whips but not linoleum slash chrome slash asbestos helmet turtles, and super advanced meat smithing into an ore smithing skill, which means as it is now minus whips plus ore-based helmet turtles, without any confusion or outrage on the part of the player base, would you? It seems to make more thematic sense anyway for seal clubbers to be the ones forging heavy chrome weapons and swinging them around, and for turtle tamers to be using the furs and hides of what they kill to make what they need to survive. And whips seem more suited for taming turtles and clubbing seals anyway. Well, the reason that you see so much more of the you know, the only thing wrong with weaponsmithing in this like sort of model is the whips, right? And the only thing weird about armor smithing is the fact that there just aren't that many turtle smithing recipes. And that's because the amorous turtle thing was part one of, you know, a 5 or 6 part addition of turtles to various places that you will use to make armor items. And a lot of them, there will be ord shields made out of some kind of turtle for all of the ores that exist. There's already like the cardboard one or whatever, but that's the reason that it seems weird is because it's not finished, basically. And it's not going to be finished for a while. We're not going to get done with that by NS13. But, you know, there'll probably be at least one more Tuesday that's a bunch of turtles. I really, really, really like the mechanic for creating scrolls of ancient, forbidden, unspeakable evil, how they act, and how the monster drops in the area that are set up. However, the scrolls rarely see use because the tattered scraps of paper are pretty damn neat, but not enough to justify a nerf. Are there any plans to make a scroll of ancient, forbidden, unspeakable evil-like thing in future zones, possibly with less useful intermediate components? Alternatively, the Haunted Library's Clover adventure gives you some intermediate amount of mysticality. So basically, it's like the bathroom's Clover adventure, only worse. Maybe the Library's Clover adventure could be changed to one that gives you a tome of ancient, forbidden, unspeakable evil, which, like bunches of bananas or fruit baskets, give you a stack of AFUE scrolls. I don't know. Alternatively, the Tome of AFUE could be like the dictionary, only usable outside the Valley of Roflumfow, and it hurts you when you use it. Of course, then spending a Clover would be too easy of a way to get it. There will be an additional use for Scrolls of Ancient, Forbidden, Unspeakable Evil, which everyone will want to do regularly. Part of some of the kind of cool, wouldn't it be nice if we could get this done for NS13, but we may or may not, content, involves that in what I think is kind of a cool thing. I mean, I think all this stuff is cool. Hogula says, white belts are no longer smithable. Bug or feature? It was a bug that they were smithable. I'm going to play a couple of songs because I want to get up and go to the bathroom. Let's see. I've got a bunch of random crap that I have downloaded onto here. Ooh, Dire Straits. That's 4 minutes. We got The Mighty Quinn, another couple of minutes, and then, oh, let's see what else. Classical Gas. All right, that puts us right up to 10 minutes, so I'll see you guys in 10 minutes.
everybody's gonna jump for joy. Gets here, all the pigeons gonna run to him. Come on without, come on within. You'll not see nothing like the mighty Quinn. Come on without, come on within. You'll not see nothing like the mighty Quinn. Let me do what I wanna do. I can't decide them all. But when Quinn the Eskimo gets here, everybody's gonna wanna doze. Come on without, come on within. You'll not see nothing like the mighty Quinn.
Care 95 says, May 17th is Ascension Day. Will there be any special content for it? No. That, of course, being the day that Mary was ascended bodily into heaven. And I always like to pretend that it's B-A-W-D-I-L-Y, not B-O-D-I-L-Y. You know, just imagining, like, skirts flying and, I don't know, pasties. Enemy Lasagna says, can we have the option for clan PvP so that we can do PvP matches with members of our own clan only? Huh. Well, that's interesting. What might actually be more interesting is, like, a ping pong table in the clan hall where you could do some series of mini quests to improve your ping pong ability and then challenge other people in your clan to a game of ping pong. Maybe that's something that would get me interested in PvP. Figure out ways to balance that. I had this kind of idea for PvP that was sort of a hybridization of some stuff that was suggested by Marshall's PvP reform brainstorming team, which I wish had a better name than that. They probably do. Where PvP would change from what it is now to like a sort of genuine content-rich sort of mini game where you'd have this like dojo in the mountains that would teach you different skills that you could only have a certain number of, or you could only have a certain number of at a certain sort of level or whatever. I don't know. Like just figuring out some way that it would reward skillful play, it would reward dedicated play, but also not be completely out of reach for new people. You know, that not have this huge barrier to entry. And I think that's a holy grail in a lot of ways, right? Because, like, you know, it's very difficult to design something like that, which is one reason that PvP sucks in this game. But that's interesting. One clan ping pong. That's something to think about. Hogula says, what, no skinny pirates? No, they have to eat all they can while they're on land. Because all of the pirates that you encounter are on shore leave, right? So they've been here for a long time too. So they're getting off of the sea rations. Ha, get it. An idea I saw somewhere, but forget where. How would you feel about making your nemesis into one of those recurring mini bosses? I would imagine Riff would feel pretty good about that, and in fact has already written a lot of content along those lines. Enemy Lasagna says, explain what you plan to change about the Bounty Hunter to make them a little better. Everything. You won't even recognize the Bounty Hunter. It's gotten mixed reviews on the new Bounty Hunter is completely finished and is in testing on dev. And it's, you know, people on dev are not sure, I think, in some ways how to feel about it. But, That's good, right? If you were sure how you felt about it, that would be an indication that it was maybe too good, and that everybody would do nothing but play the new Bounty Hunter all the time, and it would really, you know, it would detract from all the other stuff that we're doing with NS13. So, anyway, it's awesome. Creeping Crud says, any chance of the Monday 4:30 show getting uploaded? Haven't been able to find any third party recordings, and eventually, yeah. One of these days, I'll be at home, like 3-4 days from now, and I'll do it. Moraland says, "Hey, Jack. Apparently, I had a lag error occur after defeating the Boner Dagon. The skull disappeared from my inventory, and I can't complete the quest. I'll take a look at that. You say you sent a bug report, and so I will look at that, and I'll have your information and see if I can take care of it." Hogula says, have you ever considered making more familiars that actively abuse the player, like the OAF, to make for more challenging 100% familiar runs? Like, say, a time bomb type thing that explodes and beats you up after 5 rounds of combat, except, of course, against the naughty sorceress, thus preventing the player from stasising. That'd be interesting. Istanbul says, just wanted to confirm with you that the you didn't log out properly thing has happened a lot less frequently lately. Thank you. Yeah, good. I wish that I was more confident than I am that this method also solves the problem that the original method was intended to solve, but I think it's probably okay. Hogula suggests some stuff that I'm going to read later and off the air. I like text editor. Macarona says, I was thinking, what about changing Spectral Snapper to a buff that allows your familiar to deal a minute amount of spooky damage every round in addition to their normal behavior? I like Spectral Snapper the way that it is now. Once we do like Hobopolis, there will probably be some sleaze-oriented skill for every class, and so maybe we'll do that. You know, maybe the Turtle Tamer skill will be something that, the Turtle Tamer skill, I think, was initially going to have something to do with your familiar, but I ended up just redoing that. I had to make a lot of changes to the Spooky Raven skills based on dev feedback, because apparently I would have just single-handedly destroyed spell slinging as a strategy had I been allowed to do what I initially did with Scary Sauce. But hey. Clackling says, hey guys, any constructive thoughts on the cold front tracker? I'm excited about that, actually. Looking at that made me want to check in and chime in on threads that I had been ignoring. Which is to say, all threads, as I hadn't really been keeping up on the forums for the last few days. C. Allen says, there have been a lot of familiar equipment items of the month, a lot more so than item of the month weapons. What do you think about a staff item of the month, especially with the recent emphasis on spell slinging? It could be handy. Yeah, we're definitely planning on doing some more equipment stuff. Mr. the Spork says, hey, do you mind if the next Pokemon I catch is named after you? Not at all. Hellraiser6969 says, you butter believe that the bouquet is the shiz. Numeric says, hey, Jick and Company, two questions. Will there ever be any more items like snow cones / cupcakes / hearts? And is there anything in the works to have Grindhouse references in it? Thankies. I have not seen Grindhouse, so probably not, at least until I've seen it. And, I don't know. There might be more items like snow cones, cupcakes, hearts. Eloquent Rune says, would it ever be possible for class-specific outfits, like a bard outfit for Moxie, barbarian for muscle, or wizard for mysticality? I don't know. I mean, there are certainly already outfits that are more kind of focused on specific play styles, so... Miris Legend says, why is the Sabertooth Lime the baseline for attack pets? And given that, why do you make so many pets that are strictly better than it? Well, because it turns out the design space was a lot bigger than we thought it was on combat familiars, because apparently they're just totally useless and no one would ever do anything with them, ever, if they were being serious about gameplay. And, you know, it's the first combat familiar that was ever introduced. Or maybe, no, I guess the goat came before it. But yeah, it could be improved a little bit and it wouldn't matter. Artigal says, the star gear seems awfully hard to figure out without diving for spoilers for the recipes. Is that just my lack of wanting to bash possibilities, or did I miss something? Yeah, I can see that. It might, once the game determines that you're at the point where you need the star equipment, it might make sense for there to be the required recipes at least sort of hinted at in fortune cookies. Clackling says, hey dudes, how exactly does Radio Bugbear work? Is there some special site you visit to view the messages collected, or do you just have some bugbear taking notes next to you? There is a page that we can see that's just a list of all the Radio Bugbear, the current stock of private messages to Radio Bugbear, which usually represents a big chunk of the private messages in general, because they sit in the unread private messages thing until we flush them out. But yeah, it's just one big page that's got links periodically that allow me to flush the questions from prior to the link and whatever. Horse Lover Fat says, it seems that even after I visit the tutorial, Questlog says I need to see him again. Doesn't seem to have much purpose other than to refer to the documentation. Yeah, I need to just fix that, but it only ever comes up on the radio show when I can't actually look at it. So we'll see. King Greg says, just thought I'd put in a plug for a Bjork-themed area, kind of in line with the Gnomish Nomads, rich fodder for humor if you're into Bjork's music. If you're not, the idea sucks. I actually don't like Bjork all that much. I kind of like the idea of Bjork, but I don't really like her music that much. We could make an area themed after the Brunching Shuttlecock's Bjork song, which would just have a lot of things that rhyme with Bjork. Play Havoc says, can I get an oops button that I can hit to undo my last action, like eating / drinking or making something? No, that would be so complicated to do and open up so many avenues for abuse of it that it kind of makes my balls hurt just thinking about it. I can, however, create a button that says stop and think about what you're about to do and then hit this button. Every button in the game is actually one of those buttons. So if you get a Grease Monkey script to, put a confirm dialogue on every single button press. That'd be cool. He also says, by the way, I have a friend that sounds like Jick. It's really odd. Well, you have a friend that sounds all echoey? And Clackling says, aw, you're all alone tonight? The first time I've been able to listen live for a while, and it's just your voice? Ugh. Sorry to disappoint you. Oh, Istanbul says, Badger was June, and oh, surprisingly enough, the jewel-eyed wizard hat was July's item of the month. Okay. Doppelheathen says, will there ever be another volleyball / gravy fairy familiar like the pygmy bugbear? I think with the pygmy bugbear, we managed to hit this kind of sweet spot on whether it was worth it or not. I would imagine post-NS13, the bugbear is going to be a lot less useful because there is a stasis nerf on the horizon. It just has to be done. The problem then is what is the trade-off, right? Because volleyball gravy fairy is too good for even a two Mr. A familiar. So, you know, the pygmy bugbear is too good for a one Mr. A familiar, but that notwithstanding, you know, what's the cost associated with volleyball / gravy fairy? You know, the one we came up with was, it cost mana. And, you know, it cost an increasing amount of mana depending on how effective it is. And in the current game, it does seem like there is kind of a, you know, it is kind of a sweet spot. But I don't know. It would be tricky for us to come up with another one of those, I think. Kayradim says, any chance of the older items of the month reoccurring? Not literally reoccurring. We've always said that if we run out of ideas, that we reserve the right to create a new item of the month that is identical in function to one of the old items of the month, but not actually identical, not literally the same item. I'd like to think that we'll be able to not do that. You know, if we manage to stick to the sort of trend that we're trying to establish this year, which is to say that, you know, next January the item of the month will be the some element burglet. We can kind of recycle content that way. We can, you know, I like the idea of giving people an opportunity to pick up mechanisms that they missed out on, right? Like, you know, the Jekyll and Hyde belt is something that there just isn't anything in the game that does the same thing as that and is as good. So, you know, maybe we would do something that was like the Jekyll and Hyde belt, only opposite, you know? I don't think that would really be stepping on the toes of people who bought that. I think it would kind of make people happy to be able to get to it. It would give people... That also kind of came... That item of the month was very, very useful, and it predated the time when people understood that it was worth it to get the items of the month, whether it seemed like something that you were going to want to use or not, right? So there just aren't nearly as many of them. I mean, you know, if we release the hand turkey now, the hand turkey wouldn't be that valuable. It wouldn't be as rare. It wouldn't be as expensive as it is. Nobody bought it because it sucked, and they didn't understand that there was some value in buying it, even if it sucks, which is weird, but I'm not gonna say anything about it because it's kind of what, you know, keeps us getting hand jobs from hookers. Let's see. Miss Steak says, for Jick, you should do a Cinco de Mayo thing for South of the Border. I think you'll probably be pleasantly surprised. Jer the Red says, you may have answered this already, but is there going to be an item in the month that's just a weapon, similar to the Jew hat, Travolton trousers, or Pilgrim shield? Yeah, there probably will be, eventually. This guy says, how many days in advance is NS13 going to be announced once you know when it will go live? I think 30. I think that's pretty realistic. Istanbul says, on a previous show, you said your goal for NS13 was June 9th. You also said you'd give a month of notice. Are we likely to see a warning on May 9th? No. I don't think we're going to make the Ascension deadline. Ascension anniversary deadline. And I don't want to rush it out in an effort to make that deadline, because that deadline, like all of our deadlines, is just something that we pulled out of our ass. So, you know, yeah. Glebe says, doing multiple one-day runs involved donating for free Mr. A Juniors. Well, hey, guess we should encourage that then. Waterbow says, hey, upload Monday's last Thursdays and tonight's show Mas Rapido. Are we missing last Thursday? Was there a show last Thursday? I don't remember if I did a show last Thursday or not. Let's see. Numeric says, if the thieves can get that little bonus, can they use the special item in the guild if they have the appropriate level 15 skill? Maybe use the Malice and Walk when they can go there. I think that that would be really unbalancing. How many questions do people need to send in telling me to upload the show promptly? It's not lack of reminding me that prevents me from doing it when it happens. Just for that, I'm going to force you to listen to me drink beer for like 10 seconds instead of actually answering any questions. Power Thrill says, will there be new ultra rares with the arrival of NS13? Probably not. Ultra rares are so easy to actually develop that, you know, they don't require any testing or anything. So there's really no reason not to just put them in as soon as we create them. We have this item in our sort of global company to-do list that's more ultra rares, and I've pretty much decided that after one more ultra rare, we're done with that item. So there is one more, which I've already decided where it's going to go and what it's going to be, and at that point, I'm guessing no new ultra rares for the foreseeable future, unless we come up with a really good idea for it. Once we've got one more added, I'm not going to feel like there is any sort of pressure for us to create any more. So that mechanism has pretty much gotten as far as it's going to go. There'll be something that's exciting to you with NS13, though, along those lines, but much more accessible. Angel X Mortis says, while trying to make my real-life drink in-game, I failed because there are no mixers for booze, i.e. sweet and sour sauce or grenadine. What's the chance of some mixing items to enhance drinks? The way that would have to work would be really complicated and require a whole bunch of new items to be created, and so it's not likely that there will ever... Not likely that there will ever be a whole new, like, tier of booze interaction like that. Abun Danza says, hi, Jake. When NS13 rolls out, how do you plan to deploy it with characters in the middle of their run? Will they be reset to level 1, or will it start after the next ascension? It won't start after the next ascension. Anybody who is in the middle of the Sorcerer's Quest is going to be reset to the bottom of the tower, and that's going to suck to write the code for that. Although, I might be able to do something tricky with that. I can just come up with a list of all of the flags that have to be destroyed and all of the quest items that have to be destroyed, and then just sort of nuke those for everybody all at once, and that's not going to be a big deal. It's going to suck if somebody's in the middle of the quest and they have to start over. But they're not really starting over. They're getting a whole bunch more game that they have to play in between where they were and where they will eventually be. Glebe says, food is still greater than booze. Well, Son of Crimbo says, will there ever be skills that are awarded after the 15th level? There will be skills that you can realistically only get if you are higher than 15th level, but there won't probably be any more class skills that you just get as a reward for achieving a certain level. There will be at least one guild quest that has a skill as a reward. Just like there will probably be at least one guild quest that has a class-specific familiar as a reward. Even though there are already so many goddamn familiars, we just don't want to make any more, ever. We're turning into Neopets, for fuck's sake. Let's see. There will be hard-to-get skills. There will be some interesting stuff. You'll see. Macarona says, are you going to add a Disco Bandit combo for Tango of Terror? No, I'm not. Krylar says, I like the DB combos a lot. Anaka Jew says, one of my multis got the Dictionary Adventure today without having gotten the Drunkenness Adventure. Please fix this. I mean, I wasn't going to do it prior to NS13. Glebe says, you do tell everyone everything. Remember that time you almost stole the bus? We sure do. That was awesome. Thing is, we didn't actually do anything illegal. Well, we were probably trespassing. I guess I should... Huh. But, don't you guys feel like you really know me? Don't you guys feel like we're close personal friends as a result of me, just disclosing every single thing that pops into my head and every single thing that I've ever done? I feel like I know you guys. Rickett says, so what was the deal with everyone's tattoos changing? Yeah, it was just a way you could... It was a way that you could put in some bogus SQL code into the request for the form to change your own tattoo and just change everybody's. Pawn Chop says, hey, Jick, are there ever going to be more features to a clan, such as additional rumpus equipment, etc.? Oh, are there... Hammerman says, drunkenness is going to be mandatory? That bites big time. Spend your last few adventures there. You're not losing anything. Angathirith says, I'm having an argument with my sister. Basically, are you guys jackasses? No offense intended, of course. I don't think that I'm a jackass. Dr. Van Mojo says, the preposition sword would remain funny longer if the frequency with which it fires has decreased. It's really annoying in public chat because people don't take it off. Well, delete them if you don't like it. If they're being that obnoxious, they're going to get banned anyway. Krylar says, you have a very active imagination, Jake. Well, good thing. Power Thrills says, what is the whole deal on when ultra rare adventures appear? None may know the hour of their coming and going. It is a mechanism that would be pretty easy to guess if you really thought about it, and it is basically such that you can't do it on purpose. Even knowing exactly how it worked, you would be no more or less likely to get an ultra rare than anybody else. Origami Sauce says, one thing he says sort of unspoken is, I don't know how to spell origami. And what he actually says is, why call Christmas Crimbo? I don't remember exactly who it was. One of the British prep school kids very early on in KOL's history was like, hey, Jick, are we going to get Crimbo pressies? And I didn't have any idea what he was talking about until somebody pointed out that Crimbo was what they called Christmas, and Pressies was a shortening of present. So a phenomenon was born there. Power Thrill says, have you watched Super Mega's Wonderful Stories? No, I think I tried to watch one, and it was just awful, and I didn't finish it and never wanted to watch another one. I haven't actually looked at Super Mega in a long time. Tiny Plastic Grimmy says, why not Naughty Bondage Duck? That would be awesome. Yeah, but what would it do? Iluro Dragon says, the policies already allow you to ban for jackassery / asshattery, and you get to define who's being a jackass or an asshat. You don't need to change them. Damn right. Krylar says, tell that crazy Oxycore shoring guy to zap a white picket fence. Pawnchop says, I'm not saying I do, Jick, but if somebody came up to you and called you an ad-hole or a dick, would you, like, say, no, you're an asshole, and go away, or just get pissed and boot them? I don't think I've ever booted anybody for calling me an ad-hole or a dick. All the good names are taken says, hail Jick, could the sword behind annoying other players be changed so that it changes how the chat appears to the reader instead of changing what they say? That's not as funny. Mistake says, also, could you make candy hearts multi-usable? I thought that they were. And my mom says you should add a yurt. Boy, is your mom gonna be happy with NS13. Origami Sauce says, someone is stalking one of my friends on KOL, and no matter how many times she bleats him, he comes back. What could be done? Report it, and we'll take care of it. Scully tends to come down pretty hard on stuff like that, because that's not cool. Hogula says, I sent that comment about the Goodfellow to Radio Bugbear before you posted in that thread. I don't mind the functionality as described in that post, so yay! A Naked Juice says, what is the origin of the term nerf as used to describe a change to game content? Probably Ultima Online. I don't actually know. I bet there's some vast network of computers that you could consult. Let's see what Wikipedia has to say about it. Nerf. Disambiguation. Change to the rules of a computer game that weakens a certain object or ability. Let's see. Origin. The term originated in the MMORPG Ultima Online, where for a long period of time the sword skill was incredibly powerful. The designers eventually lowered its effectiveness, causing major player outcry. They claimed that it seemed as though they were hitting with Nerf bats. So that's where it comes from. Hey, I was right. I either knew that from having read it or just made it up. The Count of Monte Fisto says, a non-KOL question. What's this summer's blockbuster movie you're anticipating the most? What's even coming out this summer? Order of the Phoenix is coming out. I couldn't give a quarter of a shit about the next however many Spider-Man movies there are. 28 weeks later, I will see, but I'm not getting my hopes up. I don't think I've been genuinely excited about a movie since Lord of the Rings came out. But I don't know. The fact that I can't think of any means that not that important. Darth Dud says, the thing about the Nerf Penguin drop rate is that you used to be able to stack them up for hard areas such as the castle and funk sling them. Now you can't really do that. Well, you can. It's just not as easy. I mean, you're still guaranteed one per time. I mean, one per combat. And, you know, you have a 50% chance of getting two after two combats. So then you've got two to funk sling in a particularly hard combat somewhere else. Clackling says, I know you've said no new paths, but I disagree with this decision. I consider myself a completionist in that I'm so anal that I can't ascend until every non-required quest is completed as well. How about some special reward for those of us who are able to do that? Doesn't even have to be a path, does it? Well, no. The problem with that is the problem that I described earlier in the show, right? We don't know when you're done. We're constantly adding stuff, and so there's this goal that, you know, you can do over and over again, but every time you do it, it gets harder because, you know, theoretically we're constantly adding new things to accomplish into the game, and that's kind of dissatisfying. It would be one thing if the game was finished, right? And now I've lost my place. Excuse me. Shinigami 101 says, just curious, can you gain multiple levels training at a gym for your main stat? And if so, what does it say? You gain some levels? Yes. I believe so. Darth Dud says, I know there's some concern about how easy it is to handle massive monster levels, so I just thought I'd mention that it's mostly due to how accessible damage absorption slash damage reduction is, not lunging thrust smacked or similar being powerful. Well, it used to be very widely believed that damage absorption was useless, right? And, you know, we probably went too far in kind of counteracting that. And I, you know, it also shows where my impression of the speed game is. But there are some changes to the way Plus Monster Level works with NS13 that people seem to be pretty satisfied with. So I think that in general, people are probably, you know, the speed people at least are freaked out thinking that we're going to be making bad decisions on how to kind of nerf stuff with NS13. But with that kind of thing, we are really paying a lot of attention to the you know, sort of contingent of the dev team that represents the interests of that sort of player. And that I think it is very unlikely that the game after NS13 is going to be a worse game than the pre-NS13 game for anybody. And, you know, so don't worry about it. I mean, if the changes that we make to lunging thrust smack, if the changes that we make to monster level, if you know, whatever changes we make to anything are ill-advised and are lame or reduce the number of sort of choices that you have to make for optimal gameplay, then we'll find out. We'll find out and it'll get fixed. You know? TexMurph says, whoa. Equipment that restores MP each adventure, Yak, Anorak, Swords of Static, used to restore during non-combats and during turns spent crafting, cooking, mixing. They stopped. Bug or feature? I think it's only that the newest ones haven't been working during non-combats, but just turns spent outside of the regular adventure system. And that should be fixed. I know there were some things that still hadn't been pushed out from dev as of today. Part of it is that because of the load on the web servers now, it just takes a long, long time to push scripts out. And so I'll frequently want to, if I'm going to be pushing every script out, for instance, from the dev server to the live servers, I'll want to do it during rollover, and I don't always remember. Let's see. Invarial says, is there rhyme or reason behind the Rumpus Room purchasables? You can't get additional adventures in Hardcore slash Ronin, but you can get extra PvP fights, which can mean extra stats. You can't get chips or soda, but you can get claw items, and anyone can use the stat boosters. What gives? The stat boosters were determined to be so suboptimal that it's just entirely okay. If somebody playing Hardcore wants to use that, and if it's giving them a serious advantage, they can have that advantage because it's not going to put them on any leaderboards. It's not going to interfere with the Hardcore speed game at all. PvP fights cannot mean extra stats in Hardcore and Ronin. Can they? I mean, extra turns of flower power, I guess, right? But whatever. I mean, that was also just determined to not be a big deal. Claw items aren't going to do anything important. You know, it was mostly which of these things can we allow people in Ronin and Hardcore to still get because they're fun and cool and flavorful and engender warm, fuzzy feelings of community within a clan. So there you go. Jura the Red says, how does the flower mechanic work? After the first five on the Mayflower bouquet, your drop rate seems to fall off the face of the earth. No, it's just kind of low. Enter the Wumpus says, if you make resting become a zone, will you always have some sort of dream adventure, or will that just happen more often? I don't even know that it would happen more often. I think that a lot of times you get a particularly restful sleep adventure or whatever. You know, like most of the adventures will be just pretty mundane descriptions of what happens to you while you're resting, which tends to be nothing. But I guess there wouldn't be anything wrong with having a dream every time. The dreams don't necessarily have to do anything anyway. So why not? Maybe the you get an especially restful nap could be the exception and not the rule. Krylar says, it would be cool to have an item of the month that gives you a random previous item of the month, and the further away the item is, the lower chance of getting it would be. Now, I mean, that would be cool for a handful of people, but it would really piss off the people who are kind of investing in those kind of things, which are, you know, sort of important to us in terms of staying above water. Gromph says, are you ever planning to implement a boot / suit, shoes / feet equipment slot? No, probably no more equipment slots ever. Offhand was the last one. Jer the Red says, how about some sort of interaction if you've got both the Mayflower bouquet and the Pilgrim shield equipped? I don't know what it would be. Savalt says, wouldn't it make more sense for Kansas spray paint to be sold at their graffiti wall? No. I mean, if the graffiti wall was a store, they would get pissed off at people constantly spraying graffiti on the front of their store, wouldn't they? Okay. I am officially out of questions, and I have officially 9 minutes left. Let's go past the first and see what we can see. Chazzo says, Harvey Keitel needs to take a break once in a while. Yeah, I really need to write some more generic crossbow attacks because there are so many. Let's see. What are people talking about? Ponjo says, I forget if I asked this. Is Jick going to post the I don't know what words mean document? I would love to see that. I should really pull asymmetric.net out of mothballs and make it into this sort of pseudo corporate site and actually be able to do some stuff other than KOL sometimes. That might be fun. But yeah, the I don't know what words mean project would be fun. Oh, let's see. I feel like a lot of these things are responsible to. Let me start that over. I feel like a lot of these questions that I'm looking at right now were responses to stuff that Scully said during the during his show. Istanbul says, why is the Turtle Slinger so, you know, lame? Will Epic Weapons get better? Hopefully a lot better with an S13? Well, I don't know if they'll get better. They'll certainly get more important. Let's see. Yeah, a lot of these are just questions for Mr. and Mrs. Skullhead. Mellow Cork says, have either of you seen Hot Fuzz? Yeah, we saw it together. Hot Fuzz is awesome. Oh, you know, what I could talk about is the fact that in the, TypeLogin says, what are you doing to prevent power creep? Seriously, power creep is ruining Magic the Gathering. Oh, man. I guarantee that nothing going on right now is ruining Magic the Gathering, because that game was already pretty goddamn thoroughly ruined about 10 years ago. Maybe not 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Yeah, so there was that whole thread about Magic Gathering, which I still. Yeah, I guess it was last Thursday was when Riff and I were talking about Magic the Gathering on the radio. So there must have been a Thursday show. I can't imagine why I wouldn't have uploaded it though. Let's see. So I finished Paper Mario. Okay, so yeah, in the last 2 days, I finally finished Puzzle Quest for the DS, which I was then really disappointed to find out there is almost nothing about on GameFAQs, so I can't, like, you know, read about all the interesting things that I missed while I was playing through it, because apparently nobody cares. And Paper Mario, which I got more and more disappointed with as time went by. Not saying it's a bad game. I'm just saying that it wasn't nearly as good as the other Paper Mario games. It didn't hold my interest nearly as much. I don't think that I will ever turn it back on to go play the optional stuff like I would with, like, a Castlevania game or whatever. And that makes me sad because, you know, I like those. I like those games. let's see. This is possible now that people are logging back on that there are some new questions. Flame Killer says, hey, if you run out of questions, how about a song and dance routine? Song, at least. I'm going to see if Regarar is Redarar. LOTE says, hey, why aren't Kansas Spray Paint free pulls from Hanks? They should be. Yeah, that's actually reasonable. Invariel says, have you heard of slash played Magical Star Sign? I'm quite enjoying it. Yes, actually, that was one of the only non-Paper Mario or Super Mario RPG console RPGs that I've ever actually played all the way through. When we were in London, I borrowed that from Riff and played it after I was done with my Castlevania game. Dawn of Sorrow I played, because I had put it down for some reason, and so I went back through Dawn of Sorrow and played through it, and then did everything that it was possible to do in it, 100% soul collection and all that shit, because I just likes me some Metroidvania games. I don't think it's possible for them to produce those fast enough for me to consume them. And let's give this one last chance. Ariesia says, have you ever played any of the Zelda games all the way through? Yeah, every one of them except Majora's Mask and Twilight Princess, which I will probably eventually pick up Twilight Princess again. I started playing it, and I played, you know, a fifth of the way into it, and then went out of town for 3 months and then came back and never picked it up again. But I'll eventually play that. But yeah, they're among my favorites. The Super Nintendo one especially. And the cat jumps on the keyboard. Alright, I think that it is probably time to stop being on the radio. So I need to pick a song to go out on. How about the song that I always play? Colin Hayes, Overkill. So we'll see, kids. I don't know if I'll be on the radio on Monday. I'm not positive that I will be back in town by then, but somebody will. Scully will be on Monday at least, and I will definitely see you all next Thursday. Until then, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
I can get to sleep. Think about the implications of diving in too deep, and possibly the complications, especially at night. I worry over situations. I know we'll be alright. Perhaps it's just imagination. Day after day it reappears. Night after night, my heartbeat shows the fear. Ghosts appear and fade away. Come back another day. after day.